Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now available in more homes than the Pac-12 Network, we are the Podcast of Champions. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online.
And here he goes, Miles Jack!
And I'm Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com.
Liner, gonna try to sneak it ahead. Touchdown!
We are the Podcast of Champions.
Welcome everyone back at long last to the Podcast of Champions. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online, the UCLA site on the 24/7 Sports Network.
And I'm Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com, the USC site on the 24/7 Sports Network. And together, we make the podcast of champions, talking all things formerly Pac-12 football. We got some news in the world of college football to get to. Talk about maybe our trip to Vegas a little bit. I am actually on the road driving to Las Vegas right now, just finished charging up in Barstow. We hadn't done a show for a little while. We wanted to do one, but it won't be live on YouTube. This will just be on the audio version, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for doing that. Leave us a rating, 5-star review, all that stuff. But yeah, I'm on the road, David, and we're recording anyway. Why not?
Why not? I've got planes in the background. You are driving an automobile through the desert. It's perfect. Yes. It's beautiful. We were in Vegas last weekend. It was an experience. I have never felt, well, I won't say never. The Friday of being in Vegas was the most diseased I've felt in Vegas since probably I was 23. It was easily the worst I have ever felt in Las Vegas. 10 out of 10, would recommend.
It was fun. We were out till I think 5 in the morning, Thursday, gambling. We met up with some of the sports writers around. We ended up having the Pac-12 funeral with the no truck stops people. Shout out to Carlos and Avery and Greg and Reed, all those guys. They did a great job over there. That was fun. You were hurting, and you still did it.
I was hurting real bad. I gave maybe the worst eulogy in human history. You gave a beautiful one. Avery did a nice one. Mine was horrible. But it was a very good event. A lot of listeners came out. It was great to see everybody. Really appreciate your presence. I wish I had been there more than like 10% of myself, because 90% of me was dead. I was like that scene in The Princess Bride where Wesley is mostly dead. Yes. And they have to put that little thing in his mouth before he's alive again. I was no longer on the table mostly dead, but I was like, when they're on the castle wall and he can't move anything besides his head, that's where I was.
And they got him a cloak and a wheelbarrow or whatever, right?
Yeah. No, I was, and then by about like 5 p.m., I was maybe the scene where he's lying in bed, maybe. But even then, dicey, very dicey.
Yeah, it was a fun trip. Why don't you come out this weekend with me?
Just no.
Watch some
no.
March Madness.
Absolutely not. Maybe. All right. So we've got a lot to discuss.
Yeah, we do. I do want to thank our sponsor, David. You know why I'm going to Las Vegas? It's the opening weekend of March Madness, maybe the greatest sports weekend in American history. That's just, it's so amazing. So go to our friends over at MyBookie. You can get action on everything. You can bet every game. You can bet the money lines. I think there's so many upsets, David. I want to go with some money lines because those 12s and 13s, they seem to always beat the higher seeded teams. You can bet over unders, but there is so much action you can get over at MyBookie. And if you want to go in there, make your first deposit, you can get a deposit bonus using the promo code PAC12. Yes, we're going to keep the promo code PAC12 as long as the podcast of champions is alive. Over at MyBookie, promo code PAC12 to get your bonus. Get some action in on everything that's going on in the opening weekend of the tournament. It's so much fun. I'm going for the boys' weekend, David. You know, just play a little bit, play some golf, watch a bunch of games. I don't know that. You're not as big of a college basketball fan. You're, the team you cover isn't very good. But are you a fan of March Madness? You like the opening weekend?
Absolutely. Though I am taking time away from the first game to talk to you right now. But yes, my favorite thing to do is to do a parlay of each first round in each region. So 8 games, do a winner's parlay. Because occasionally, if you've done a bracket before, you know you hit those. And if you hit them, put $50 on it. You might walk away with, I don't know, 20x that. So it's a fun way to spend the early rounds and, relatively negligible amount. I don't recommend doing like $100 a game and betting all the games. That's crazy. But a little something to keep the games interesting. Not the worst idea in the world.
Yeah. Well, you can do it over at MyBookie. Use the promo code PAC12. They'll hook you up. It's funny, 4 teams. We were talking about this before. We're not a basketball podcast, but 4 Pac-12 teams made it. Colorado won the their play-in game or whatever you want to call it, their first 4.
Yep.
That's more money for Washington State and Oregon State, right? Every time a Pac-12 team advances, it's more money for them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Hey, and maybe potentially Cal and Stanford if they get bounced out of the ACC because it's blowing up.
Do you want to start there? Like,
yes, so I do.
Clemson is now suing the ACC. The ACC, countersued Florida State. They are countersuing Clemson. Our North Carolina site had an interview, I think, with the chancellor of North Carolina, where they're taking a strong look at this. They're probably the most coveted brand out there. But it's like one of those things, David, like if you're like filing for divorce and you're like, through lawyers and stuff, there's probably no reconciliation after that. Like, you're really upsetting your partner. I don't know where we go from here. The North Carolina, I would believe it was the chancellor, I'm in the car, so I can't really look it up, was talking about that basically the upper echelon of the ACC is unhappy, and this is all being driven by the lower echelon, who's fine not competing with the Big Ten or the SEC. But once they signed that college football playoff document where the Big Ten and the ACC are getting like twice as much money as the ACC, you've basically just admitted we are a lower level league. And I think that really upset Florida State. That really upset Clemson. And that's kind of where we are. And Cal and Stanford are joining this league that's teetering on collapse. They just came from a collapsing league. And they're like joining another one. So that seems like a little disaster thing, like a bad movie or something.
Yeah, it's really bad. And it was stupid at the time. And now it's, now maybe we expected it to last a little bit longer, but it's becoming even more stupid. It never made sense for Cal and Stanford to go to the ACC. And yes, it never made sense for anybody to leave the Pac-12, but whatever. It really never made sense for them to go to the ACC. And now it looks like, look, I don't know the way this is going to go, but I think we're going to hit the stage where there's going to be just buyouts of, Florida State and Clemson have to pay some huge amount to get out of the contract, and they will. And then the ACC is going to collapse too. I don't think it'll be too long before Cal and Stanford are left with the exact same choice that they were left with a year ago, but instead they're going to be in a worse position because they've gone a year of not making any money where they, you know, over leverage themselves to enter the ACC. And then they're going to come begging to the sneaky strong Pac-2, which is going to get a ton of NCAA tournament revenue, as well as some college football playoff payouts for the next couple of years.
I know, it's pretty crazy. And I think the ACC, you got to give Brett Yormark credit and, you know, what they were doing over there. As far as the Big Ten losing their two biggest brands, I think they did a nice job scrambling and putting things together. But there was that was still a deep conference. Like, the Pac-12 is a pretty deep conference. The ACC is very top-heavy. And losing your two big brands, I think, hurts them even more than the Pac-12 losing USC and UCLA, the Big Ten using Texas and Oklahoma, and just the timing. Since this already happened, there's not, like, you know, there's not brands you can add and backfill. You know, the Big Ten, Big 12 was able to do that. The Pac-12 was trying, that didn't work. I just don't think the ACC would be able to as well. And there, you know, there's some good brands there, but this is really, you know, it's going to happen. Like, there's, you can't have the two biggest brands saying, we're suing the league, we want out for all these weird reasons. I don't know if you saw the lawsuit for Clemson, but they were saying stuff like, well, the grant of rights is only, you know, you have our rights as long as we're in the ACC. If we leave the ACC, then, you know, you don't have our rights anymore, which seems pretty weak. But the interesting one was that the ACC did countersue Florida State. Florida State filed in Florida court. North Carolina, I mean, the ACC countersued in North Carolina court. There's going to be a venue battle and all that kind of stuff. But Clemson was saying, and I think there's some validity to this from what I know, I'm not a lawyer, but that they never agreed to a suit. There wasn't some sort of vote that my understanding, you know, so they didn't agree to a suit against Florida State. So why was the ACC just able to do that? So this, it's all weird. I don't know. I mean, maybe ESPN comes in and just like, this is dumb, we're not going to do this anymore. But I don't know how this ends, but it doesn't seem like it's going to end well.
No, no. Well, none of this seems like it's going to end well. Going back to my thesis, this is all just the degradation of the sport, and it's none of it's going to end well. It's not going to be good. The Big Ten moves aren't going to end well. It's not going to be good. It's all going to be bad. This is just getting accelerated bad, and so it's kind of funny. But it's all bad. Not good. Not good. We don't like it. We got another thing to talk about, Ryan.
Okay.
Washington Athletic Director Troy Dannon, who was there since October, and yes, I'm using the past tense for a reason.
I haven't even learned his name yet.
After losing his head football coach, hiring a new football coach, and then firing Mike Hopkins, his basketball coach, he dipped. He's out. He's going to Nebraska. This is such a deep what the fuck. Like, I don't look. I've been reading a little bit that, like, I was going on Dogman to try to figure out what's going on, and it sounds like there were some fit issues with Dannon. Sounds like his family never moved up there. Sounds like there was some turmoil in the AD. But, man, how the hell does that happen?
I don't know. Trev Alberts, the, you know, Nebraska legend, takes over as the AD there. He belt bolts for Texas A&M. And they, you know, sometimes the AD searches take a long time. You know, it took them a while to find Dannon after Jen Cohen left for USC. And then within, I don't know, was it the week or whatever? Like, they go get, like, that's insane. He's going in interconference. I guess, you know, Cohen and, you know, did the same thing, Washington, USC. But, I mean, it's, Washington was just in a national title game. Like, I think their athletic department's pretty healthy as far as, like, other sports and stuff. I mean, is Nebraska really a better AD job than Washington? I mean, the only thing I could think of is that if you said, hey, we could be better at football if we had, like, someone give us $10 million. Like, there's Nebraska people waiting to do that. Like, they're willing to throw – they want to get back to the 90s however they can. I think they're going to throw money around more than – it's not like, you know, Amazon is just dropping bags at Washington's doorstep or anything. So, I don't know. I'm not sure what this means, or if you just like didn't like it, the way things were going at Washington, or Washington didn't like the way things were going. I don't know, but it's just it's a weird one.
So I have a theory, Ryan, that the legalization of paying players, which is where we are right now, could lead to a resurgence from some of the these old traditional powers that still have insane fan bases that want them to return to glory. But their path to success, especially for a school like Nebraska, where it's hard to acquire talent in a non-monetary game, where it's just recruiting them to the cornfields of Nebraska. But now if they can recruit them to the cornfields of Nebraska while paying them millions and millions and millions of dollars, you know, could Nebraska see a return to its glory days? Like, I think it's possible. I think, you know, you could see that for Nebraska. I don't know who else even fits the mold, but they could really do it, because I think that fan base is so starved for wins that they'll be willing to way overpay for talent. And I think the AD hire is just an early example of that.
I like the theory. I think it makes sense. I mean, it's changing, and talent acquisition is changing. You know, the tradition stuff, does it mean as much? You know, the guys want to get paid. And if you get paid in Nebraska, you know, $100,000, you get paid in L.A. $100,000, it goes a lot further in Nebraska. I don't know. So they seem like they're all in on this. And when it comes to, you know, for as far as any kind of what finances need to be rallied, it seems like you can do that maybe easier in Nebraska. So maybe that's the case. I don't know. But this is a really weird one. It, you know, it just, if anyone that's complaining about players leaving, yeah, Hayden Proctor, what, going from Alabama to Iowa, and now he's going back to Alabama without ever, you know, having a snap. An AD going someplace for 5 months is pretty insane. I think the buyout was like $4 million, so maybe Washington gets a little cash there. I mean, is any AD worth that? Like, I don't know. Like, is he going to be that much better than whoever else you could have hired that you got to pay an extra $4 million? It just seems like money's not an object. So if you feel like he's going to be the guy, then they go with him. But that is definitely a weird one.
Yeah. Well, it's sort of like I would never hire somebody who is that willing to leave a place after that many months. Like, that would be maybe like the fact that you're willing to listen and talk after 6 months on the job should actually preclude me from hiring you. You know what I mean? It's sort of like, you know, never like if you are with somebody who's cheating on their husband, you don't marry that person, right? Like, because they've already shown you they're willing to be disloyal, right?
Yes.
So just take that and say, no, not doing this. So for Washington, I mean, the hits just keep on coming to some extent. I mean, we don't know the full backstory here yet. So maybe there's reasons why this might be okay for Washington. It certainly sounds like there was maybe some fit issue here. But I think a big key now with Washington is kind of level setting a little bit. Like, okay, we've tried to just go way outside the box a couple of times with hires, you know, hiring a guy from South Dakota and hiring an AD from wherever, Tulane. Maybe now it becomes more of a priority to focus on, okay, guys who want to be in the Pacific Northwest. Because I like the Pacific Northwest. I think it's awesome. I think there's a lot of people who do. Chris Peterson was one. But I also think there's some drawbacks to it for people who haven't lived there, namely, you know, the weather. It's very gray, it's very wet, it's very, you know, not so great a lot of times. Find people who actually like it and hire them. I think Washington is a good brand, but it doesn't overcome, you know, it's not like Alabama. I mean, as we just learned, it doesn't overcome like soft factors for people because of its own prestige. But if you find the right fit, it can obviously work at a very high level. So I think hiring the next AD, hire somebody with some sort of connection to the region at the very least, and to the school if you can, to make it harder for them to leave, make it harder for them to turn their back on it. I mean, honestly, if a guy like Chris Peterson wanted the AD job, hire him in a flash. But,
yeah.
But really, just somebody with some sort of connection to the area, I think, would be a key priority next time.
I agree with you there. You know, it's you get the Kalen DeBoer thing, like, okay, you're going to Alabama. You know, like, they've been the biggest dynasty ever. And the AD thing is weird. You know, I'm curious if we see more of this. Is it because Washington only gets a half share? I don't know. And Nebraska has more money to throw around. It's a weird one. It'd be interesting to talk to, like, Kim Grenolds or, you know, Chris Fetters, any of the, our Dogman guys, just to kind of get their thoughts. I saw, you know, Kim was at the Pac-12 basketball tournament. And it's funny, Jen Cohen was there, their former AD. He's still, I think he had a good relationship with her, was still joking around and everything. I see her. She's just a great person. I think she's a good AD. I mean, she's done some really good things. I'm not going to judge whatever, but you like having a really great person, someone that like really wants to be there. She's happy. She's into the game. She's, you know, she's passionate about that stuff. I don't know how easy that is to find. I think they want to try to get someone like that. But like you said, somebody that has ties to the region that's not looking to bolt for the SEC or Southern California or wherever else, like somewhere, you know, something like that.
Yeah, totally agree. Totally agree. So that's going to be an interesting thing to watch.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So, Ryan, do we want to answer a couple of questions before you go completely out of cell phone range?
Yeah, sure. Let's do our best.
Okay, I think, yeah, I'm going to read them all. Okay, I'm gonna find the first question. Give me just a hot second, okay?
You know,
can you stop rushing me? What's that?
When you get spam emails or like emails you don't need that aren't questions, like archive them or delete them. David, I think there's a thing people do. They just leave them there, like unread.
Can I tell you what I did? Can I tell you what I did this morning, Ryan?
What'd you do?
So on my drive back from dropping my daughter off, she goes to school about half hour away. I've been getting spam calls from a scam company in India that's purporting to be this thing called First Premier Bank for like the last month and a half. They're just a pure scam trying to take advantage of ignorant old people, right? Like, they leave me automated robocall voicemails. I can't pick up the whole thing. I called them a couple of times yesterday and politely asked them, hey, can you take me off your list, whatever it is? Because I don't know what this is, but I'm not your target, and also you guys are scumbags. And they're like, yeah, sure, we'll take you off the list. They don't take me off the list. They call me again and again and again. So this morning I'm like, all right, fine, I'm doing it. I'm gonna really take care of this. So on my drive back, in the half hour driving back, I robocalled them. I called them over and over and over and over again. Every time I called them, I just started, I would say, like, you know, some choice expletives, take me off your list. Or I would try to be like, I was doing like heavy breathing into the phone. I was doing a wide variety of unsettling things to these people in India who are robocalling me. And Ryan, let me tell you, after seven or eight of these calls, one of them I just actually played along and did like, what's your name? Dick Withers. And then when we got to Social Security, I was like, yeah, yeah, my Social Security number. Let me look it up. 25 seconds later, I'm like, okay, I found it. It's fuck you. And this was after like 5 minutes of talking to them. So I'm just trying to tie up their phone lines, right? After like seven or eight of these, I call back again. My number's blocked. I successfully robocalled them. Yeah, that's right. That's right. So if I can recommend anything in life, if you are getting those kinds of calls from what is obviously a scam company, don't reveal any of your personal information. Don't. But if you want to call them back and just harass the shit out of them too, I recommend it. It's a great surefire way of getting off their list.
You must feel good today. Like you accomplished something.
I honestly, it was one of my shining moments of the last week. All right. First email. This is from Go Beavs, Hank. Quarterly earnings report. Hey, what's up, guys? It's Perk. Shit, sorry, Hank. TV money question. Is the consolidation of college football into a few haves and have-nots, or a few haves and many more have-nots, good or bad for the big network's long-term revenue? As a Beaver fan, I'm less inclined to tune into other games going forward because they won't matter for my team's conference standings, bowl projections, etc. I imagine other fan bases excluded from the Super Conference's upcoming consolidation party will feel the same way. Are they killing the goose that laid the golden egg? Love ya. Go Beavs. Hank, I'm going to answer that very quickly for you. Ready? Yes, they are killing the goose that laid the golden egg.
Yeah, I think
it's not
you
good.
Have the big brands, but no, but you... if you take away the small brands, it diminishes the big brands. Like, if they fuck with the tournament, which is nearly perfect, you can't, you know, the St. Peter's and the, you know, Gonzaga became Gonzaga because of that. You know, we've seen Cinderella stories, like, make the first couple weekends of the tournament what it is. If it was only the Final Four that mattered, it just wouldn't have the same kind of appeal. You want to fill out that bracket. You want to be able to pick upsets. You want to see those small schools from mid-majors and lower whatever get those automatic qualifiers come in and either get trounced or make a run and knock off a Purdue, whatever it is.
Even
if
more
you take those away,
yeah,
it doesn't matter. Like, who gives a shit if 17 and 17 Mississippi State upsets Kentucky? Like, who cares? But it's way cooler if, like, Furman does it, you know?
Even more than that, I do acknowledge there are probably some, quote, college football fans out there who just love the sport, right? But people are fans of, like, unlike the NFL, like, there's a ton of people who are, like, I'm just an NFL fan. On Sundays, I just watch all day NFL. I don't really care who's playing. But that's not the way it is in college football by and large. By and large, college football, you are a fan of a team, of a program. And if that program is uninvolved in the, like, larger scheme of college football, that's fine. You're going to watch your team, but you're not going to watch the larger scheme of college football. I think the people who are developing these ideas do not understand the sport in any way. Like, they don't understand, like, that it is not the NFL. And if you do a Super League, great. You're going to get the exact same fan bases that you already had of those respective teams, but you are excising 80 teams that are not involved in that, and those fans are not going to jump over and be like, oh yeah, I really want to watch Ohio State Alabama today. No, they're gonna be like, oh, I guess I'm watching Oregon State Fresno State and then finding something better to do with my day. Or they're just not watching anything anymore because you know, the interest level for an Oregon State fan to watch them against Fresno State versus watching them against USC is going to be significantly diminished. So it's, yeah. No, they are absolutely killing the sport because they do not understand it and they are trying to create a mini NFL.
No, I agree. It's we're going down a slippery slope here. They got to be careful. You excise, you know, all those teams, and if they were part of they were sitting at the big table and now you're putting them at the kiddie table, you know, they're going to be some resentment towards everyone at the big table, and you're probably not watching. You know, I would watch Alabama, Ohio State. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
But those Oregon State fans probably aren't going to anymore.
All right, we got one from Frank in Sacramento. If you had to pick one, what's a more important trait for an elite 4 to 5-star high school player to have? Football player. Confidence, raw talent, or desperation?
I mean, I think you got to go raw talent. Like, I'd rather, like, a good coach can take raw talent and turn it into something. I mean, desperation, it can be helpful. I think confidence certainly is helpful, but if you're a 5'8 cornerback that doesn't run very fast, I don't care how confident you are. I've had parents of those guys come up to me and tell me, watch their kid. And I'm like, he's not even starting. So yeah, give me raw talent.
Yeah. Raw talent for sure. Desperation is interesting. I might take that over confidence. I think, lots of people have want to, but a need to, can be really motivating. Whether that's intrinsic or, you know, external factors. But that's where you get the kind of, pissed off for greatness type people. But yeah, raw talent for sure. Number one. All right. Next up. We got an invite to go hang out with Eric in Vegas. Neither of us looked at this. It was from 9 days ago. Sorry, Eric.
Shout out to Matt, by the way. We did hang out with Matt.
Oh, shout out to our boy Matthew. Yeah, Matthew was he rocked. He brought us to Bacchanal on the Friday. Oh, on the Friday where I was dead, where I was deceased, he brought us to Bacchanal Buffet. Excuse me. I wake up at like 10, feeling again the worst I've ever felt. Maybe in my adult, like my grown ass adult life. And we're scheduled to meet Matthew at noon, I think, at Bacchanal at Caesar's Palace. So I take a shower, feeling horrible. Like, it was one of those nights where I had forgotten to brush my teeth. That's how bad things were.
Oh, yeah.
So I wake up with like that feeling on my teeth, you know, and I shower and just things feel bad. They feel so. So bad. And then we have to go eat at a buffet, which Matthew brought us to. And it was delightful. It was delightful company. We met his brother. We met his brother's coworker. And then we sat down and I ate. Here's my decision-making tree. I was like, well, at a buffet, you really got to maximize the quality of food you're eating so that you're really breaking the buffet. So my hungover, like hungover doesn't begin to describe it, but my, you know... My poisoned brain and body decide, you know what my first plate is going to be? Prime rib, brisket, linguica sausage, and bacon. And I eat all of that. And I eat all of that. All of it. Every single bite. And afterwards, I was like, oh, I'm going to die here. I'm going to die at this table. I'm going to actually... Every fluid in my body is going to come out of every hole in my body. That's what's going to happen, and I'll be dead here. And then I went for seconds. That's when I got sushi to throw on top of that, and some other Asian foods on top of a whole pile of meat. And then I was like, well, you know, we're here. Got to get the dessert. Do that too. I wanted to be dead after that. Like, not like, you know, it wasn't like ideation in a bad way. I didn't want to be experiencing that anymore. And then after that, we went to the Pac-12 funeral. Anyway, Matthew, thank you so much. Yeah. It was delicious.
Yes, thank you, Matthew.
All right, this is from Grant. Pac-12 road venues. Hello, Ryan and Sith Lord Dave. I'm so glad the YouTube algorithm, if such a thing exists, led me to your funny, witty, and mediocre show. The dynamic the two of you have is unparalleled, and I especially can't wait to see how you guys break down such thrilling matchups like Washington versus Indiana and Stanford versus Pittsburgh next year. I'm a UW alum who has visited 10 of the 12 Pac-12 stadiums, with Autzen and Rice-Eccles being the only exceptions. I might be biased, but Husky Stadium truly is the greatest setting in college football, especially on a sunny day for tailgating. That said, I've had great experiences at the other stadiums as well, whether it comes to kicking the aluminum posts crossing Exposition Boulevard from USC's campus going into the Coliseum, hearing Oregon State's obnoxious chainsaw every third down, or being at what might be possibly be the only game that Ralphie didn't run at Folsom Field due to the rain. Talk about being a bad luck charm. As far as fan bases go, I've had the most tense experience with Washington State fans at Martin Stadium, which is to be expected since they're the little brother in the rivalry. But other than some drunken trash talk with Oregon State and Colorado students, the fan bases have all been pretty classy and respectful. In my experience, Cal fans are by far the classiest. From your perspective, how would you rank the stadiums, game day experiences, and fan bases at each Pac-12 stadium? Would love to hear your guys' thoughts on this. Traveling across the country to the Big Ten stadiums just won't be the same. But hey, it'll make for some fun trips to New York, D.C., Chicago, and some other fun locations. Really appreciate the work you guys do and hoping this doesn't become just another lifestyle podcast. Stay calm, keep it mediocre, and go Dogs. Thanks, Grant. Love it. Thank you, Grant. All right, I agree with him on Husky Stadium. That would be my number one.
Sure. The tailgating is great. I think it's hard for us to do the fans because, I mean, in the press box, you don't get the same sort of experience. You know, it's like
Everyone
there wearing school colors, you know, and like sitting in the, you know. I think that fans would have a better perspective of that than we would.
My experience.
My
experience with fan hostility, and this goes back to my student days and then also my like early adulthood days, I would say it was rare to experience real hostility from Cal or Stanford. It was rare to experience it from Washington. I would say the Oregon schools, both Washington State and Arizona, and then to a lesser extent Arizona State, they've got some fans who they'll get after you in the stands. They'll get after the players on the court or on the field. Oregon's hostility to Kevin Love when he was playing up there in 2008 is still something that sticks in my mind. Bordering on, ooh, that's not so good. So there've been some moments, and that's how I grade it. Like, obviously, I've got my own little, like, oh, well, I think those fans suck. But, like, I would go just, like, strictly from, do they get hostile with opposing fans and that sort of thing? And I would say Wazoo, Oregon schools, and Arizona are probably the top tier. ASU, a little bit below that. I haven't had enough experience with Utah fans in stadium. My general sense is not really. USC fans, not really. There'll be some good-natured shit, but it's not like, you know, where you feel like, oh, shit, they might beat the hell out of me after this game. But yeah, that would be my opinion.
Yeah, I think that all makes sense. I mean, it can – Colorado, I think, is pretty chill. You know, Utah, you could get some intense people, but I think probably, like, the ones you mentioned, I think would probably be the toughest. You really have something for Arizona fans, man.
No, I'm just saying, like, this is from my experience going to, like, football games there. Like, you get some people who are – and I do think, and like I say this with all like generosity of spirit, I think some of it is the amount of shit people talk about Tucson. I think that entire fan base has kind of a chip on its shoulder about that.
Yeah, no, I get it.
And so I think that plays a role. But venues, I would say Husky Stadium's top for me. I mean, there's so many cool venues in the Pac-12. Like Pullman is super cool. Like going to that Martin Stadium out in the Palouse is super interesting. You know, Utah's really cool, in the shade of the mountains there. I mean, the Rose Bowl's fine, I guess, from a setting perspective. I just think the stadium kind of sucks. But yeah, there's a lot of cool places.
Yeah. I mean, I think things different, you know, like the LA ones just bring a lot of history. Like they're not like these modern stadiums and stuff. I mean, I like the way Stanford put theirs together, like the new one. But like going to Boulder is a great experience. Like Salt Lake City is fun. You know, you haven't gone to Rice Eccles.
I have.
I'm saying that Grant hasn't.
Oh, got it.
He hasn't gone there. But like, you know, Eugene is like, it's really, you know, it's whatever, a couple hours from Portland, but but like really pretty around there. And yeah, I mean, there's just some really fun, you know, I like going to Tucson. I love, like, it's very different going to Tempe. I mean, you're in like Phoenix, like there's a lot of cool stuff. It's a big city thing. It's, you know, it's different if you're like LA or Phoenix or something versus like Corvallis or Pullman, but you can get something cool out of all of them, I think.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Well, Ryan's audio is getting a little sketchy and we're out of questions. So I think that should wrap it up for us. Obviously a short show this week. We'll be back for a full show next week. So really appreciate everyone's time. We love you. You're delightful. Ryan, don't you close us out? Why don't you close us out?
I usually do. Yeah. And I think we'll try to talk to Jackson Moore for Cal Stanford perspective, especially now with the ACC potentially blowing up. Spring practices are starting, so we'll keep going through our list of the schools we haven't talked to yet and do that. But yeah, it was a short show. Sorry if there was any audio issues, me being on the road. Hope you guys all enjoyed it, and we will talk to you next time.
Goodbye.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a CAN model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount+.